And as I was thinking about this, it reminded me of one of the leaders of the church that we were at in Pennsylvania some years ago. Of course, I refer to that church an awful lot. That's because we were there a long time. You know, just a lot happened. But in this particular church, there were one of my leaders, one of our leaders, I should say, had done a lot. And he had a high-paying job, so he was able to give more money than others. And he did a number of things in the church. And we were building, we were coming up with a new building at the time and trying all kinds of new ministries. And so he did various things that helped get some of these things forward. And one day, he and I were having lunch to talk about how things were going and what might happen next. And he wanted something to happen. There was a certain thing he wanted to make sure happened, and he really wanted it. And I don't remember what it was, and I don't remember what the circumstance was, but I knew that what he was describing and the way he was describing it, we couldn't do it right at that time. And so I said something like, I don't know if we can do that now. And he got very offended. He said, after all that I do for this church, you won't do this for me, because I want this in this church, and that's what I really want. All that I've done, and you won't do this. And I don't think we ever did do that thing, and he didn't leave over that. But I thought that was a very interesting reaction. I mean, obviously, it was aimed at me, so I was very interested in it at the time. I was out there in public at a restaurant and everything. And I thought about it some more, and I thought about it this week, of course, to share it with you. And while this person could have been a lot more pleasant in this exchange, I think he pretty much believed what we all believe. And it's this. I don't really need God to do a lot of what I'm doing in my life. I can do it. I can pull it off, and I don't need God's help. I don't need to pray about it. I know what to do. I know how it works, and I'll just go ahead and do that. A lot of our modern culture is on that foundation. We don't really need God to pull off what we're going to try to do. Thank you, Chris. All right, very good. Now we can take that a step further, because I think this it's the way we were raised, it's the culture we were raised in, it's the air we breathe, you might say. And that is, when it comes to the church, what I do in the church, I really don't need God to support that. I don't need that to come from God. I have things that I've done before in other places. I've done things in my work. I've done things in other volunteer situations. And I can do that here. And looking to rely on God for the prompting of God, the provision of God, doesn't play into it. Maybe not at first, and maybe not for a while. And sometimes maybe not even at all. And that's something that we believe. I don't mean that we intellectually would say that's the way that it is, but when it comes right down to how we make decisions about what we want to do and how we want to be in the church, we say, well, I can do this. I can do it. And that's where we step off from. Now, I do that. I mean, it is so tempting, for example, to after all these years of sermons, and you know, when you're the only pastor at a church, you do probably like 50 a year. So about all these years of about 50 a year, to just go back into the barrel and pick one out. I don't need God to come up with help me come up with something. I got this one right here. Just do it, or all kinds of other things that could go on. I know how to lead a meeting. I know how to do this. I know how to do that. I know how to get the service started. All those things are part of the air we breathe. And I can tell you, don't repeat this anywhere. Okay, don't don't say that I said this, but because I'll deny it. But there's a lot of clergy who breathe that same air. I got to come up with something to preach. I got to come up with something to do here. I got to come up with a program here. And having God as the agent who starts these things, at best, is often really far from our thought pattern and is often just not in it at all. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't like God. That doesn't mean we don't have a place for God. That doesn't mean that when we come to church, we're thinking, I want to connect with God. It doesn't mean that at all. It means when it's time for us to take a step, we believe we need to take the step on our own power. Because that's the way we were raised. That's the way I was raised. I'm pretty sure that's the way you were raised. That's the way that it is. Just one more point on that. There's the old joke that if the Holy Spirit left the church, 99% of what we do would go on as usual. Thank you for chuckling at that. Okay, so what do? We work with God. We work with God instead of for God. We work with God. So today we're looking at this rich young man who asked Jesus what he should do to inherit eternal life. Now, just a little aside, this is for free. It's just a little bit not in the center of what we're talking about, but is this. Eternal life does not happen after you die and go to heaven. It happens now. It is right at this present moment. It's the quality of life of living with Jesus. It is what happens knowing that Jesus is with you all the time, every moment, that he's closer than a brother, as the Proverbs say. That is eternal life. It's the quality of living in the kingdom of God. Today, presently, we have eternal life. So, here we are, the young man's asked, but about eternal life, how can I get that? And Jesus says, well, why do you call me good? You know the commandments. He starts to summarize them. And this young man says, well, I've kept all these since I was really little. Kept them all. Now, when I was in my youth group, my youth group leader was also my math teacher in junior high, and he had some very interesting, you know, things to tell us. And one was keeping the Ten Commandments. So he put up on the board, because he was a teacher and we had a board, he put, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, all up and down. And he says, first one, here's the first one here that Jesus, you shall not murder. Okay, has anybody murdered anyone? Said, no. And then he says, let's see what Jesus says about that. If you call someone a fool, you have killed them. Has anyone called anybody a fool? Okay. Didn't keep that one. All the way through, not one of them were we able to keep according to what Jesus says. This is how you keep the law. Most of us are old enough to remember Jimmy Carter as a presidential candidate saying, I have sinned in my heart. You remember that? Look at somebody lustfully. So Jesus said, if you look at somebody lustfully, you've committed adultery. That's Jesus says that. So, okay. So you're kind of getting the point, I think, maybe. And the young man got the point. And Jesus says this thing, which, I mean, a lot of us, this is where we really check out of the room on this gospel. You know, you lack one thing. You know, all the stuff that you have, go sell it. Sell your house, all your possessions. Give away all the money. Don't hold on to any of it. And then come follow me. have any of you spoken to a real estate agent or a lawyer about arranging this for yourselves? Perhaps not. And I want to suggest to you that this is not what Jesus wants everyone to do, but there's something underneath this that is something Jesus wants everyone to do. Because there's other people that Jesus has said, hey, go home to your family. Don't come along with me. Go home to your family. That's how I know that this is not for everybody. It's for this young man. And so what's he saying to this young man? I want you to notice that the young man says, I kept all of all the commandments since I was little. And Jesus, knowing that he didn't, because of the way that Jesus interprets that. By the way, in Jewish scholarship, the interpretation, there's an interpretation of the law that says you can keep it perfectly. But Jesus says, well, okay, but what about this with the kingdom? And that's where Jesus was with this young man. But I want you to notice this. Jesus looking at him, it doesn't say corrected him. It doesn't say rebuked him. It doesn't say told him to straighten up. It doesn't say, oh, wait a minute, what are you talking about? It says he loved him. He loved him. And then he says, you lack one thing. Go and sell your house and do all that and follow me. Jesus was offering this young man transformation, and it is the same transformation that he offers to us. And we need that transformation if we're going to follow him and keep the law as he wants us to keep the law. Some of you are familiar with James 2:10. Maybe not, so I'll tell you what it is. If you break one point of the law, you have broken the whole thing. You know what that means? In today, in if we were to transpose that into the way we live today, if you roll through a stop sign while you're driving instead of stopping completely, you have broken the entire legal code of this nation. That's what that means. The other thing it means is we need what Jesus is going to give us to be able to do what Jesus wants us to do. The only way to keep the law as Jesus sees it is to be transformed by Jesus, which is exactly what he wants to do. He doesn't want to punish us, correct us, make us feel dumb, tell us where we're wrong. He wants to transform us into being like him. And that's what his work is in our lives. That's what it's all about. Now, Jesus here loves this young man and gives him this challenge. And what this challenge means to this young man is this. What I want you to do is adopt a lifestyle that puts you into the position where you look to me for everything. That is the exact same thing he says to us. I want you, each of you, to put your life into a position where you trust me for everything. Where you become more like me, where you grow in love and relationship with others, where you grow in mercy and compassion, where you don't take offense if you're offended. Perhaps you have a few other blanks to fill in of what it is to become like Jesus. Now, one place we can do this is in the church. It's a great place to do it, actually. It's one thing to think this, like my friend back in Pennsylvania did. It's to think like this. I think this church needs whatever it is. And so, you know, you drop it off, or you go ahead and do it, or you try to agitate till it happens, or, well, hey, we're Christians, maybe we don't agitate. We keep bringing it up till it happens. Because you want to do something for this church. That's coming from us. We become the agent of what happens. And it's another thing altogether to think like this. Help us join in with what you, Lord, are doing and forming in this church. Now, it still might be just as much work and just as much effort and just as much many meetings and all kinds of decisions that have to be made. But what has switched is the agent of what happens. The agent who makes things happen switches from us to God. And that is one of the fundamental things we want in our lives. Where the agent who makes things happen is now God. Now, I don't mind telling you, I find that to be a difficult one. Because I want to come up with all kinds of ideas. I want to make a plan and then say, God, this plan is the best plan for this situation right here, and all you have to do is bless it. And, you know, if you don't, that's okay. We'll just go ahead with it. I mean, isn't that how you want to do things? You don't want God coming in, messing up your great plans, the things that you've worked on, and all the stuff that you know from your experience and all this. I mean, I don't. I could start showing God my degrees. Hey, look at this. Look at that. Here's my resume. Right? But that would not be me being faithful to Jesus, who says, follow me. He says, come with me. This is very different from doing something for him. Now, I have a couple of suggestions. Because I think the Bible got this right in this gospel reading. When Jesus told the rich young ruler, this is what I want you to do so that you start trusting me and following me and get your ideas from me. When he heard this, he was shocked. I mean, I don't know about you, just me saying this stuff is shocking. So God, what do you mean you don't want me coming up with any ideas? What do you mean you don't want me to do something for you? To which the answer is, well, I want you to do things with me. I'm already at work. There's all kinds of things going to happen. Things you wouldn't even imagine. Join in with me and come with me. Learn how to do that. Learn how to catch what I'm doing and join in with me and do it. That's how these things work. That's what Jesus meant when he said, I will build my church. So my suggestion, first of all, is if this is shocking to you as it is to me, allow yourself to be shocked. Jesus is not going to be offended by that. I think he kind of expects that that's what's going to happen. And then come along with Jesus and say, okay, what do we do now? you're the agent in charge of getting things moving here, coming up with the ideas, and you're the one already doing things. Now what? That's an excellent prayer, going to God and saying, now what? And waiting for that to come. So the second thing I want to suggest to you is just focusing in on that, that now what? What is Jesus asking you to do so you live in a way that trusts him more than you do now? What steps do you feel Jesus is asking you to take? And then which ones do you want to take? There's the steps of the rich young man here who walked away from Jesus. Or is there the steps that Jesus is outlining in which you walk with Jesus? I want to heartily suggest walking with Jesus. That would be a great thing to do. Even though it would open up all kinds of things we may not have ever even thought of. But then that is kind of the idea, that it would come from him. So let's take a moment of just quiet before the Lord, see what he may have to say to us individually, and then we'll go on to the Lord's table. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the way you are with us. And that it all comes from you. You are the first as well as the last. And we ask that you would guide us in what we do next. Help us to know your answer to now what, so that we can go with that. Amen.